Looking for a more affordable way to own in 2026? With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new home for just £26 before the 26th January. Lower upfront costs, modern, stylish homes, and a clearer path onto the property ladder, making it easier than ever to step into home ownership. Find out more at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.
Today, you'll learn how to think deeper in a world that won't stop shouting with practical tools for curiosity, creativity, critical thinking, and connection. Stay tuned for the end where you're going to learn 5 actions that you can use this week. If this helps, follow The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi on Apple and Spotify and subscribe to YouTube at Stacey Chalemi Advisor. Drop a 5-star review so more people found it. Now, my guest today is Katie Talbridge. She is an educator, an author, and a founder behind Curiosity to Create, helping people and organizations build deeper thinking and act that actually sticks. Now, Katie, I am so excited to have you on the show today. I just want to jump right in it. But before we jump right in it, can you tell people a little about yourself?
Sure, I'd love to. And thanks for having me. I am a retired teacher. I was a teacher in the Chicagoland area for about 25 years of my life. Before that, I was in marketing and public relations, and I really loved the creativity side of all of that, but really found that there was something in my life that was missing, and that I needed something more. So that's when I went into education and loved every minute of it, loved getting up in the mornings and seeing my students, and just really embraced that atmosphere. I did notice, though, that there was this huge swing in education where students weren't as engaged anymore. They weren't really thinking in creative and critical ways. And so I really started to then dive into this idea of what is thinking? What is deeper thinking? How do we get to be deeper thinkers? And so I started introducing a lot of creative thinking, critical thinking into my classroom. And then eventually upon retirement, the Driscoll Foundation reached out to me and said, would you be interested in starting a nonprofit called Curiosity to Create and running that? That's aimed at curiosity, deeper thinking in education and in leadership and business. And so that's what I've been doing now for the last, gosh, almost 4 years.
Wow. Now you say deeper thinking is a muscle. What's the difference between consuming information and actually thinking?
Right. And it's, so we are consumers, right? You sit on your phone and you're scrolling. Think about all this information that's coming at you. But there's a difference between all this information and knowledge and wisdom. You know, what do we do with the information? How do we think about it? How do we figure out if this is really true? Does this work for us? Not just because an influencer said it or because someone in leadership said it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right for us. So how do we do that? And that's what I really started seeing. There was this huge gap in that of here's this information I have, but here's true knowledge and wisdom. And how do I discern what's the information that I need that's most relevant and that's best for me? And best for our world. It's not just selfishly. It's me, my family, my business, my community. It's all, what is the best information that I need? So taking that information, working on it, like, and your brain is like a muscle. You know, you work out your legs and your arms, but you also have to work out your brain and keep it going and keep it vibrant. And the only way to do that is by being curious and by thinking in creative and critical ways. And so that's really why I am so passionate about this, because I think we have so much information just bombarded. We are just bombarded. Turn on the TV, turn on the radio, anything. You know, you've got those ads popping up. It's overload. So how do you assess what's the right thing for you?
Oh, that's so true. Now, start with curiosity. Like, what does a curious mind sound like in real life? And how do we restart it when we feel like it's flat?
Yeah. And, you know, this is so interesting because so many people think that curiosity is something that children have, which they do. They're naturally born, right? You sit with a child and it's, why is the sky blue? Why? But we really don't lose our curiosity. What we found during research is that what we are losing is our confidence. So as we grow older and we get into junior high, we get into high school, we get into adulthood, we're still curious. We still want to know. We're just afraid to ask because we're afraid of judgment. We're afraid of looking stupid. We're afraid of what people might say, right? And so our curiosity is still there. We just don't use it. We
Right.
don't express it. And being curious, I mean, even when you click on something online, you're curious about it. One of my favorite activities that I do is you go on like a Wikipedia and you just start clicking links, like what interests you, and see where it takes you.
Right.
You know, I mean, one link to the next link, and then you th that's curiosity. It's wondering, why is it this way? It's not taking things at face value. Someone may say A, but I'm thinking B. But maybe I should look into A a little bit to see if A is right or what A has to. I'm curious. I want to learn something. I want to do something new, create a new recipe, right? A lot of people
Yeah.
think that this is just a I'm curious on how to learn an academic thing. And
Right.
it's not. It's gardening. It's curious about something in history, anything. And we've got to continually ask that question of, well, what if? Why
Yeah.
not? And that just needs to be part of our lives. It's something we need to do on a daily basis.
That's so true. Now, where do people confuse creativity with being artsy? Like, what
Yeah.
is creativity for a manager or a parent or a
And
student?
it's interesting because I just finished my dissertation, and that was the number one thing that I discovered, was that people don't understand what creativity is. That when they teachers, business leaders, they think creativity is let me get out the markers and the crayons, or it's like this fluffy, soft thing. But really, creativity is a creative thinking is a process. So it's that you might have a bunch of Legos in front of you and build a beautiful castle. That's creativity. But the process that got you to where you built this beautiful castle, that's creative thinking. That's the foundation. So we have curiosity. We're curious about something. Now we want to find out something. So we're going to be creative in our thinking. What are all the possibilities? What if we tried this? Right? As in, it can be artistic. It can be a beautiful sculpture, a beautiful painting, but it also can be a great new recipe, something you knitted or crochet or crocheted. It can be something you did on your car. You know, it can be anything that is a way of thinking in a creative way. So that there is ultimately usually a product. It could be an ad campaign. It could be a short story. It could be a memo. It could be a podcast, right? I mean, that's, but there's this process that gets it there that's so important we can't forget about, which is the thinking, and that's what comes together. And it's something that is done sometimes alone, but many times with other people.
I love that. Now, curiosity, like, give me two curiosity prompts that unlock better ideas fast.
I wonder, right? So I wonder what, right? And what if? So I wonder about blah, 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 blah. I wonder why this is happening. And the what if we tried, right? And they're so open, and there's no, I don't know, baggage probably isn't the right word, but there's no defensiveness that comes off with those of I wonder or what if. Right. If we start even our, I wonder why it's like that. I don't know. Let's look it up. Let's figure it out.
I love it. Now, when it comes to creativity, what's your favorite constraint game that gets teams unstuck in 5 minutes?
So I love doing divergent thinking. There's divergent and convergent. And divergent is there are no rules at all. We are just going to come up with as many ideas as we can about this problem we're having. So, what is the issue we're having? What is the problem? Are we stuck in something financial? Are we stuck in a product that's not working? Let's just throw out as many ideas as we can. And wild and crazy is great because sometimes what happens is we come up with a couple ideas and then people go, oh, yeah, that's good. And then we shut down. But if you give them permission to say, be wild and crazy, like sometimes I'll say, what would it, how would you explain your product to an alien? Like, let's think in different outside of our original thinking. Let's think outside first so that we can get a, I'll have a wall full of post-it notes of all of these great, different, silly ideas. And then you take, so divergent thinking brings out the creativity. And again, going back to it helps when you have other people in the room because you might have an idea, Stacey, and I think, oh, that's great, but that made me think of this idea. So we feed off each other instead of being in isolation.
I love that. Now, when it comes to connection, what does thinking get when it gets, how does it get sharper in community? Like, how do we build rooms where the brave questions are safe?
Well, and that's that psychological safety, right? That belongs in any classroom, it belongs in any board meeting. You have
Yes.
to feel like you are safe, and that takes time. That's not
Yeah.
something where you can just walk in and go, okay, we're all safe in this environment right now, because you know that there's going to be somebody who's rolling their eyes, crossing their
Yes.
arms. You can read on their face that they are judging you. So
Yes.
building psychological safety takes time, and it takes effort on the leader's part and on the teacher's part of letting them know that this is a safe place and that I'm as vulnerable as you are. Many times that is the leader has to exude that. So I have to say, you're never going to believe what I did that I messed up. Or I had an idea and it was terrible and it failed. Me being the leader and showing that I'm vulnerable and honest and authentic then gives the people near you the ability to say, okay, well, if she's that way, he's that way, they're that way, then I guess I can be that way too. I can share because I'm it. So it takes time. Once you get there's no limits because you have this idea and there's not going to be this fear of failure, which is the number one thing that people struggle with, is the fear of failure and judgment. So I don't want to give you a bad idea, because what if I give you a bad idea and you're all over it and you jump all over me, and what if you fire me? What if whatever. But when you have
Yeah.
this safe zone and you say that, okay, that's interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah.
Tell me more isn't a big th if you can just say to someone, tell me more about that.
Right.
They're going to start telling you more and give you more definitions, give you more of their logic and their creative and critical thinking process so you can
Yeah.
understand them better. Now you're building this sense of respect and
Yeah.
trust. Right. And if you do that, I mean, think about your friends and the people that you talk to the most. It's the ones that don't automatically say to you, that's stupid. When I talk to my students, that was one of their biggest fears. When I talk to teachers, one of their biggest fears.
Right.
And then when I talk to leaders and people who work for, like, what's the number one thing you want from your leader? And it's respect.
Right.
It's that
Respect.
humanity. And so
Yes.
that creates a very safe environment.
Respect is so important. That safe environment is such an important thing, because you can accomplish so much when you've established a safe environment. Children will open up, children will become themselves, and that wall around them will start to disintegrate. And that's so important. If they want to grow and advance into to better human beings, we have to knock down that wall, because a lot of times people come from all different types of homes and they carry all different types of walls around them. And some of those children need more attention than others. And if we can give them a safe spot, it could carry them through life. These are things that you don't forget. Like, I'm sure you still remember maybe your third grade teacher or your fifth grade teacher, because they made such an impact. Whatever they did in that classroom, whatever they said or however they acted, made such an impact that it carried throughout your entire life and you never forgot them.
And that's exactly why I tell leaders, be like that great teacher. Because you remembered that teacher, right? You remembered that teacher, the impact that they made on you, how they probably pushed you harder than you probably should have been pushed, maybe, right? Or harder than you thought you could be, right? But they
Right.
believed in you. They were your cheerleader. They still may have given you one of my favorite teachers gave me an F, my very first F, and she was so influential for me. But I knew I could trust her. I knew that I could go into her classroom and cry because she just gave me an F, but
Yeah.
that she was going to encourage me. That's the kind of leader, because those kids have grown up
Yeah.
and they're in the workforce. And so the same old way of leading that's just do it this way because I said so doesn't work
Yeah.
anymore. We have to be more of the mentor, like the teacher who believed in
Right.
us. Leaders now have to take on that role. And
Right.
that's where there's, again, this gap in the workforce between what's happening in education and what's happening in the workforce. And it's leaders have got to learn how to lead this new generation, right? Because they're not, we automatically we want to judge them and we want to say that they're wrong.
Yeah.
And that's because that's not how we were taught, or that's not how we worked our first job. But it's different
Yes.
now. They think differently, they communicate differently, they connect differently. They want
Yeah.
meaning and purpose. And so as leaders, we have to be that great teacher, right? We have, because I mean, what a great thing, like, we say, oh, I remember that great teacher, but how about I remember that great leader? And when I ask
Exactly.
people that, they might remember a teacher, but they don't remember a leader. And that shouldn't be the case.
Right. That's so true. Now, when it comes to integration, like walk us through the 10-minute mini workshop that you could run at work or at dinner at the dinner table tonight.
Yeah, so I use the acronym CREATE. So the C being, what is it? What's the content? What are you curious about? The R being, what is the risk that you want to take? And what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Because that's the thing. Like, again, embrace failure. Like, if we couldn't fail, I would probably try this. Okay, we'll try it anyway. Because if you do fail, then what? Right? And then the E is this experience. What is an experience you could have? Because too many of us are sitting on our couches scrolling and we're not having any learning experiences. Think about some of the best times you've learned things. It's when you were doing something, right? So, what are you curious about? What are you going to take a risk? What are you afraid to fail in? Let's try it anyway. What's an experience that you can have to find that curiosity? And then the A and the T are really about attitude. What is your attitude towards learning? What is your attitude towards thinking? And being positive and having that growth mindset. T is, man, we got to be a team. It's not groups. You know, so many times we put into group work, but there's always that one person who takes the lead or says, let me just do it my way. But when we're a team, we work together to win. Families are teams. Communities need to be teams. Work places need to be teams. We all have different strengths. So what's my strength? What's your strength? And how can we pull that together to create something of innovation? And then the last E is all about evaluation. And that's really reflection. So great. Now family, now team, we tried this. It didn't work. What should we do next time? Or we tried it and it was successful. How can we make it better? It's that reflection part. We have to take time to reflect. And we're so busy. And like you said in the very beginning, we're getting all this information. We don't take time to breathe and slow down and think and reflect. What do I really think about this? What do I really need in my life? What is the best path forward? We got to take time to we have to like carve out time. You know, they always say some of your best thinking comes in the shower. That's because you're not doing anything. It's rote. You know how to wash your hair and your body and your right? So you have this ability to your mind begins to think and think creatively. And that's if you can think about the CREATE method and think about what am I curious about? Am I open-minded enough to take the risks? Let's have some kind of an experience, have a great attitude towards it, do it with someone else, and then reflect on what worked, what didn't work. That's my quick 10-minute. If you walk through that, anybody from teachers to leaders to parents to individually, what am I curious about? What am I, you know, all of that, the CREATE method will work in all those areas.
That is amazing. Now you work across education and organizations. What future ready skill is most missing right now?
So I work in education, I work in business, I'm nonprofit. If you look at all the research, they are saying creative, critical thinking, and then being able to connect with people. So it's creative thinking and it's critical thinking, and then it's that thinking, the ability to be problem solvers. That really is the biggest umbrella I can put it under, is can we solve problems? You know, we're so afraid of AI. And AI is here to stay. I mean, you know, I mean, I think about like when we were young or I was young and the internet was came out and everybody was, oh my gosh, it just seemed like people hated Elvis Presley. You know, there was always going to be something coming in that people are going to not like or be afraid of the future. AI is here. We've got to embrace it and learn how to use it. It's not going to take away our creativity. It can't take away our humanity. And that's what the future skills are needed. So I might be able to Google all the facts I need about the Civil War or how to solve a problem in math or how, right? I can put in a short story and tell me what is the conflict in this short story. AI can answer those things for us, but it can't be us. It can't be this human caring person that has to have a big problem like the environment and we have to now solve it. AI could give us maybe several different ways of solving it. But only we know, okay, can we really do that? Is that realistic? You know, what's the truth here? And that's what's vital. We've got to start being able to think for ourselves because if we don't, we're just going to continue to be in this polarization that we're in right now. and everybody thinking that they're right, nobody compromising, right? And nobody coming together and saying, okay, we have this problem. How can we fix it? Education is a problem. We need to fix it. Our government has some issues. We need to fix it. We, right? I mean, there's like, how are we going to fix? Well, we have to come together in a room, people who are different, and be able to communicate. So that's why I think that if, even if you look at like World Forum and adult, all of those are saying the ability to think, to be flexible, to understand that the world is a volatile place right now. And so how do you maneuver that? Those are skills that don't come from AI. Those are skills that come from being a human. And we've got to teach those skills so that it, you know, that's what I think is missing in that gap again of what are we teaching and how are we mentoring people so that we're getting those amazing skills we need for the future, right? And we're not looking at the things that can be answered on the internet or on AI or something like that. We've got to come up with these incredible, innovative ideas that make a real impact in the world.
Oh, for sure. Now, when it comes to the AI era, like how do we use AI to deepen thinking instead of outsourcing it?
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. I think people are starting to outsource their thinking instead of using it as a tool. So I use AI. I'm a big advocate for it. It gives me, in fact, I was just using it before we came together, the two of us, because it gives me a lot of ideas, right? It saves me some time. But it ultimately, I have to still make the decision. I can use it as a tool of what do you think I could do? Or how about give me some, 10 names that I could use for my keynote. Give me 10 titles. You know, I can do that, but I ultimately am making the decision. I ultimately am guiding by using good thinking prompts to tell the AI, here's what I want. I have an audience of HR executives. I want to talk about deeper thinking. The executive said they're having a problem with retainment, with morale. You know, take all of my information and help me come up with an outline. I'm still the one who has to deliver it. I'm the one who needs to know the information. Right. And so I'm using it because it's helping me. It's helped me on my dissertation go through a lot of my research, but I still have to read it. It might find like, here's a good article, but I still have to read it and discern what's the right information to put into my book or my dissertation. So that's how we need to see it and use it. Like it's a great tool, like a virtual assistant sitting next to us, helping us, but we can't give it our ability to think. We can't take what, because I mean, even ChatGPT at the bottom says some of this information might not be correct, right? Even they admit they're wrong, right? So the best thing we can do is be thinkers for ourselves and say, thanks for your help, but here's what I think.
Now, when conflict shows up, how do we keep curiosity alive so conversations don't collapse into team and tribes?
Yeah, and this is what's happening in our world, right? I mean, it's the one thing that I think breaks my heart the most when I look at this is that we're not connecting with people. So let me give you an example of a parent was telling me this story that she, and her fault, she read something on social media, immediately judged this woman by what she had posted, and met this woman at a community dinner. Started talking to this woman and realizing this woman's going through a very hard time. Her mother had just passed away. She's going through divorce. And so she's like, oh, I have those same experiences. And they connected. Now, they disagreed politically by what she had put on social media. But she said to me, but all of a sudden, by me asking her questions and being curious about her, we connected in a very deep way. And that's what I think is missing. That's what breaks my heart, is that we may have different opinions in how we raise our children, in how we run a business, in political ways, religious ways. That doesn't mean we still can't connect. And the best way to do that is the tell me more. And I mentioned that earlier. So just tell me more about why you think that way. Tell me more about why you, because I, and then here's the key. You got to listen authentically and genuinely, not just say, tell me more and then check out. But tell me more and asking questions. We've forgotten how to ask good questions, good, meaningful questions. Like, tell me more. That's really interesting, Stacey, that you thought that. I'm wondering, or have you heard of, or maybe have you watched, or I was just reading, what do you think of that? So that there is this idea that is going back and forth that maybe we don't see eye to eye on, but man, I am learning so much about your opinion and you're
Yeah.
learning so much about mine. Maybe you'll change your way, maybe you won't, but who
Yeah.
cares? You now have more knowledge and wisdom, which goes back to what we were saying at the beginning, right? We have more knowledge and wisdom than you had at the beginning.
Exactly.
And that's what life should be about. Like learning about different cultures, learning about different faiths, learning about different things so that you can discern. And discernment is so key here. Discern for you what's the right thing for you.
Exactly. Ah, that beautifully said. Now, for leaders, one meeting changed this week that creates more originality and less groupthink.
I think one of the things I love to do, and I did it in my classroom and I've done it in leadership trainings, is I put on the table, if I have a meeting, I put fidget things on the table. Play-Doh, fidget sticks, stretchy things, because there's science that says like when your hands are moving, your brain is functioning. It's also great to get the creativity going. I remember once where somebody was telling me how they're not creative, they can't think creatively, blah, 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 blah. And the entire time they're playing with this like Lego thing and they're creating, not even consciously. She's just sitting there talking to me and she's putting all the pieces together and doing this. And I just said to her, look what you just did. That was creative. And so I think just by giving people permission as a leader, I want you to think creatively. I want you to take some risks. I want you to be open-minded. Those people look for the permission. And as a leader, the best thing you can do is say, listen, no idea is a bad idea. Honestly, I'm being super genuine. We say that, but do we really mean that? Right? And the only way that your staff's going to know that you mean it is if you are authentically showing it. And by giving some kind of silly ideas yourself, right? So as a leader, being that guide, being that, which I talk about the lighthouse, being the lighthouse, that yeah, you're going to have storms, right? Yes, the waves are going to come around, but you have to be that person that is standing there showing the light, saying, hey, look, here's the ocean. Right here, I'm going to illuminate it for you with my light, but you have to make the choice of which way you're going to go. As a leader, I can't say this is the way you're going to go. I need to be the lighthouse that guides you. That's that beacon for you. And unfortunately, too many leaders are do what I say. And that limits creativity, it limits connection, it limits innovation. And that's where leaders have to start stepping back and saying, let me be a mentor to you. And the younger generation, that's what they want. I was asking one of my Gen Z people that I work with, and he said to me, show me one good leader out there right now. I have no mentors. It's like, show me in the world, anybody in the world, give me one really good person out there that I can look up to and say, wow, I want to be like them. And he said, right now I'm having a hard time coming up with any name. And that's the problem. They want meaning and purpose and they want mentors. So we have to be that for them. And that might mean we have to change. It's not about them changing. You know, we always say, oh, kids these days, they need to change. Maybe we need to change.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Now, for parents and teachers, what's one practice that helps a young person handle uncertainty with courage?
You have encouraged yourself. Them seeing the courage that you have. And a lot of times I think as parents and as teachers, we want to have this facade that everything is okay. I have it all. I'm fine. I'm fine. Right? How are you? I'm fine. And it's that everything is under control. Kids need to see it's not under control. We are a mess, but we're handling it. And here's how we handle it. Right? And so I think that modeling it for parents and parents being open and vulnerable in any way that they can of, man, I really had a bad day today and here's how I'm coping with it. You know, I had an argument with the neighbor over, you know, where they parked. Here's how I handled it. Because that's kids are looking up to you and they see you. I was at a baseball game not too long ago and a bunch of the parents started fighting with each other. They were over an 8-year-old ball game. And I remember saying to a bunch of the moms, and all the kids are watching. They're all sitting there watching these parents get in each other's faces. And I said to some of the moms, your children are watching you. And immediately their faces just stopped. And like they're watching you and they can hear you. And immediately because I think we have to realize they hear us, they see us, they know what's going
Oh,
on.
yeah.
And so if we're anxious and we're frustrated and we're not showing them how to do what we do with that,
Yeah.
then they're not going to learn, right?
Right.
I grew up as a Gen Xer where our parents didn't say anything to us, right? Just,
Yeah.
deal with it. We had a
Yeah.
lot of that. Go outside and play, just deal with it.
Yep.
And we can't continue that cycle. And I'm not
No.
saying we have to tell them everything and we need to over enable them. We don't want to do that either because we have the lawnmower parents who are like, let me pave everything for you. Let me get all the sticks out of the way so that there's no, that's not good either, right? We
Yeah.
don't want that. We need a balance of, hey, look, life is hard. I know it. Here's how I got through it. Here's how you're going to get through it. Yes, this is a time of uncertainty and chaos. But what do
Right.
you think? And I think one of the other big things here too, Stacey, is not telling them what to do, but asking them what they think.
Yes.
Right? Do you think, what are some ways? And as a family, you can have a family meeting, you can have a class meeting, just like you do it in business world in boardrooms. It's
Right.
that same thing of we have, this is a tough time for us. What do you think we should do? How do you think
Right.
we should handle it? Right? Get everybody involved and having that conversation with each other and be,
Yeah.
having some ownership in it.
100%.
I think
Yeah.
that's so important. And
It
instead
is.
of the parent just saying or the teacher just saying, here's the way it's going to be, period.
Exactly. Exactly. Now I'm going to throw a question at you. What's one question that reliable arms open any room?
I'm curious. I'm curious about, do you know? Have you? It's just asking the question, right?
Right.
It's even the simplest, like, what's a good book you've read lately? Because
Yeah.
that's not controversial. You're not starting out with who did you vote for, right? You're it's just something of, what's a hey, I love what's a great show you're watching right now?
Right.
Because here's the thing. You want to connect with people, and that will open up because now you're asking them to give you some really good information and you're actually curious.
Yeah.
Have you come up with a really good, what did you do with your grandkids? How was Thanksgiving? That's the connection piece too that opens things up. So many
Yeah.
times in business and we're all focused on the bottom line, right? It's
Yeah.
ROI, ROI. But we're not taking time to invest in the people working for us. And then they leave and we have all this turnover. Talk about bottom line, that's hurting our bottom line.
Oh yeah.
We have to retrain someone. But if we just said, hey, how was your holiday? Did you do
Yeah.
anything fun? Like, take time. Remember, didn't I see that, you were your grandson was playing in, a baseball game this weekend? How did that go?
Yeah.
Remembering. You
Yeah.
told me that you were going to do this weekend. Did you? Did you see the
Yeah.
latest, Marvel movie? Like, those kinds of things can open doors and arms so much because people are like, wait, you really genuinely listened to me and you actually genuinely cared. So now I'm going to invest. And it goes back to that psychological safety we talked about because
Yeah.
now I feel safe talking to you. And I feel like you really care. And just being curious about people and their lives, go, that's that connection piece. The Atlantic came out a couple of months ago with a great article saying that we're in an isolation crisis. And that's because even talked about how, bars and coffee shops used to be places we hang out. Now they're just to-go places. The bar is just filled with to-go orders because we take it and we go home. We're not mixing and mingling and talking to someone and having that good conversation. So I think that is what can open up so much for us. And think about how just a simple thing of tell me how you're doing for real, not just I'm fine, everything's good, right? Because if you say how you're doing, which we say all the time, people are just going to say I'm fine, I'm good, great. But if you really say something more specific, like how was your weekend? What did you do? Tell me about this. Now I can do more than just a one word, fine, good.
That's so true. So true. Be more specific. It's
Yep.
100%.
Well, even our
100%.
parents, I always would say to my parents of, how you say, how was school? And the kid just goes, fine. What'd you do today? Nothing. Nothing. Start saying things like, what was your favorite part of your day today? Now they can go find nothing. What was the favorite part? What
Right.
did you enjoy the most? What did you struggle with the most?
Yeah.
If you could redo something today, what would it be? See
Exactly.
how those kinds of questions open up a whole world of
Oh,
really
yeah.
good thinking. Really good thinking.
I gotta use that tactic on my husband because every time I say something, it's good,
Yep.
fine, it was fine,
Nope. You gotta hope, you gotta ask those
know?
deeper questions. I'll do my husband too, like, how's your day? Hectic. Okay, well, what made it hectic?
Yeah,
Right?
exactly.
And then they're gonna tell you more. Then it's amazing how much information you can get when you ask those open-ended questions.
Oh, for sure. Another question I want to throw at you is a creative killer you remove first.
The creative killer would go back to the psychological safety. So the thing that kills people's creativity the most is the fear of judgment, the fear of being wrong, the fear of you telling me. And I remember I had an English teacher who called on me once about an interpretation of a poem, and I was, I'm sure, not what how she thought. She immediately went, wrong, Katie, wrong. And I thought, okay, now I'm done. I'm done. I was done in that class. And English was my favorite subject, but I shut down. I mean, she pointed at me and said, wrong, Katie. But, okay, all right, I'm done. Though that kills my creativity then. If you are not as a leader open-minded, as a teacher, as a parent open-minded, I remember my mom once saying to me, there were times when I was a teenager and I would say something that I would tell her something, and inside she was going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, no, like panicking on the inside of what I was telling her. But on the outside, she was very calm. Because if she started panicking while I was telling her that, I was going to shut down. But because she stayed calm, even though she was panicking on the inside, because she stayed calm, I continued to talk and to give her what I was thinking. So I think that that's the same thing, that if we are so afraid of judgment, and we're afraid that our boss is going to judge us, our friends are going to, our spouse is going to judge us, we shut down. Then we're not going to be creative, because why risk it? I'm just going to follow the recipe exactly how it is written, because I know it's got 5 stars and I know people like it.
I love that.
And
I
then we
love
miss
that.
out. We miss out on something that could be incredibly good.
That is awesome. Now, what's one sentence you use when fear shows up?
I'm trying to think of a way to say it that's not completely dumb. It is that, forget you fear. It's that this is only a moment. I'm fearful in this moment, but if I can get over that, what will happen? And that failure is a learning experience. Now, fear can be a good thing, obviously, right? You don't want to jump off a cliff without something holding you up, right? I mean, there's that kind of fear, and the difference between that kind of fear and the fear of, what if someone's going to judge me? And there has to be this idea of, if I don't take this risk, I'm not going to advance in what I need to advance in my career. I mean, it can be scary to change jobs. It can be scary to jump into another relationship. There's so much fear, right? But what happens if we don't? If we don't take that, we're going to miss out on so many incredibly important and could be truly life-changing experiences because we're afraid. So we have to start thinking of that. Forget you fear. I can move on, right? I can accomplish something. And what's the worst? Sometimes I've done this with my students too. What's the worst thing that can happen? Let's just get that out. And I even do that in my workshops, when I teach workshops. Immediately I start off with barriers. What are some of the barriers? Because I know in your mind right now, you're thinking, oh, that's great, Katie, but this is the problem, and this is a problem, and this is a problem. Let's get all those out. Now that we have all those out, we have all of those we can't, because now let's focus on what we can. But sometimes we get so caught up in the, well, I can't, because, well, what if this happens and then this happens, and then you got to push that all aside, get it all out, push it all aside, and then now let's focus on what we can do. And so trying to just, yes, I'm afraid. Yes, this is scary, but fear, I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm gonna try and see what happens.
I love it. I love it. Now, tell us about the services and the products that you provide.
So I have two. I have one that's for education, and that's Curiosity to Create. So that really is working with schools. I travel all around for schools and work with their teachers on how to teach the create method, how to teach creativity, curiosity. And what's incredible to me with that is that a lot of educators know we need it. They know, like we mentioned earlier, that there is this gap, right, between what we're teaching and what the world needs in the workforce. They know it. They just don't know how to do it. Right. And a lot of them, like we said earlier, they don't even know what creativity is. They think, oh, creativity goes in the fine arts department, not math, not science, not history. So I do that. I travel around and I talk, and I have a couple books out for the Deeper Thinking Advantage, which is deeper thinking in the classroom. And then we also work with homeschool. You know, homeschool is becoming more and more prevalent. And so we work with homeschool and after school programs where we take for kids. And so we take the create method and we have created some children's books and some children's activities. So the C is Charlie. Charlie is my curiosity kid. R is Riley. And so we had children's books that talk to kids and show them how working together they can solve problems. So there's always a problem that happens in their curiosity cove, their town, and the kids work together to solve the problem. And they're all different ages. And so we have activities and stuff like that you can do that parents can do at home. And then I have the business, the Deeper Thinking Advantage. And that is really working with leaders on how to lead like great teachers.
Oh, I love it.
And so all of that is that's combined. And so I travel, I do coaching. My favorite thing is to do workshops where you really get in there and talk with the people and you get them together in one room. I mean, that is my with kids. Just the other day at Thanksgiving, I had the best time. My daughter had my two grandsons plus about seven other boys, all of them ages of 7 to I think 15, and they had never played capture the flag. Never played it. So I taught them how to play capture the flag. And what was so fun about that was here's a simple thing, but even my daughter was laughing at me because immediately they were just running around playing tag. Like, that's not how you play capture the flag. You gotta like be strategic and you gotta think and you gotta. And so one of the boys ran through the house and snuck around and got the flag. And I was like high-fiving him, like, great job, good job. And one of the boys was like, that's not fair. And how is that not fair? He thought in a different way. He was strategic, he was creative. So it didn't just because you didn't think that way doesn't mean the way he thought was wrong. Like, he won. So even in how, you know, helping even parents to see, like, just go play capture the flag, kick the can, those old games we used to play outside because our parents said, do not come back in the house until dinner, you know, because of it teaches us to be creative, critical thinkers. And so I'm just passionate about helping find good strategic ways that are practical because, again, teachers will say, well, I have this curriculum or I have this deadline or that's okay. You can still teach how to think creatively and critically. And if we don't take that now, so we're ready for the future, we're going to be in real trouble. I mean, we already are seeing it. We already are seeing innovation is slowing down, making impact in the world is slowing down. We've seen that there's this lack of thinking for yourself. So if we don't start at the teacher level, so that's why I started the kid level, we have the kid level, the teacher level, and then the business level.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, where can people find you?
Oh, so curiosity to create, which is the number two. So curiositytocreate.org. You can find all of our services there. All of the books are on every bookstore that you can think of. There, all the books are there, the children's books and all that stuff. And then katietrowbridge.com. So go to katietrowbridge.com is more of the leadership and the speaking that I do and all that kind of stuff. So any of those places, we have a YouTube station, you know, Instagram, all that stuff that everybody else has. But any of those places you can find us. And like I said, in the books, the children's books, we have an activity book. We have a teen book coming out that should be coming out soon that's specifically aimed for teens
Wonderful.
on how to help teens be more creative and critical thinkers. And we're
Oh, I
really,
love that.
I really believe in not just reading a book that is all this theory, but the practical tips on how to actually do it. So we have that in all of our books. We have very practical, try this, try that, so that it's something you can really do.
I love it. I love it. Now, Katie, listeners were promised five concrete actions. What are five things they can do this week to deepen and act braver?
Okay. All right. Number one, what are you curious about? Pick one or two things every week that you are super curious about. Okay. And then number two would be go do it. go find it out. Go take that risk. Right? So if we just, there's so many times where we lose our curiosity. What is it that we ask yourself? Write it down. Okay? This week, put it on your computer. What this week I am most curious about why Antarctica is getting warmer. Right. I am really curious about what happened to this actor from Friends, right? I mean, I'm really curious about that. I don't care what it is, just be curious and then go find it out. So one and two. Number three, I would say is make a coffee date with someone. Reach out to someone, connect with someone, and put it in your calendar where it's not a really quick, hi, how are you? Fine. It is a authentic, purposeful, meaningful conversation with someone that maybe you haven't connected with, not over text messaging. Actually pick up the phone or say, I'm going to meet you at a coffee shop or meet you at this bar. Let's have dinner together, right? But find one person that you need to connect with, even if it's the same person. It could be your best friend who you haven't talked to in forever. It could be your spouse. It could be one a child that you know what, they're so busy, I hardly have a chance. Take them out on a date night. But try to do that once a week, one person. So be curious, learn something, go do it, connect with someone, and then take yourself out on a date.
I
Have an
love it.
experience for yourself. What's something you really want to do? Especially like right now, it's the holiday season. What's something that you would like to do? Get out and do it. Even if it, honestly, even if it's the only thing you say I have time for right now is to go on a nature walk, great. Because even when you're out thinking in a nature walk, just put your phone away. I always had my students do this. I had an assignment where they had to put their phone away and walk, take a walk for at least 10 minutes. I cannot tell you how much whining and complaining I got about those 10 minutes and how hard it was that they did not have their phone on them. But like, do yourself a favor and go for a walk. Go do something fun, even if it's a drive in the car. But don't turn the news on. Don't, just think. Just let yourself reflect. And then the last thing that I really would say is do something creative. Anything. Just do allow, give yourself the permission to do something creative, whatever that means to you. And again, as soon as I say that, people are going to say, I'm not creative, I'm not artistic. But remember, beginning we talked about that's not what creativity can come in any shape or size. So
Hundred
just
percent.
allow yourself, even if it's you're going to plant a flower, you're going to do something creative, even if it's, I'm going to go play with my grandkid and imagine and wonder. It's still creative. Or I'm going to, those are the kinds of things I'm going to go sit on a swing. Taking time to have that recess. We used to love having recess as a kid, right? We always looked forward, and a punishment was if you were bad, you got recess taken away. So why can't adults have recess? Why can't you go play? And I think that that
I
is
love that.
mentally helps us. So just from being curious to taking risks to connecting with people and then taking time to go play. Have fun. Be silly. Give yourself that permission. It can free your mind so much and lift your spirits and help in this world that seems to be falling apart all around us, right? But if we connect with people, we talk to people, we breathe, we have fun, that will open up our ability to be innovative and problem solvers.
I love it. I gotta tell you, Katie, you are phenomenal.
Oh
This
my
has
gosh, thanks.
been an amazing podcast series. You are just amazing. I just, your episode was fully phenomenal. Because these techniques, not only the techniques you just talked about, and you were focusing on children, but really these are things that adults can actually use as their own tools and their own strategies. And really, we all have the inner child within us. People have to realize that our inner child never goes away. That inner child is in us. And what happens as an adult is that we get responsibilities, we have families, we have to pay bills, we have to do this, we have to do that. And we let that inner child get lost within ourselves and we forget who we really are. We are children of God. We are children of the world. We have that child that we were when we were a little kid is still within us. We still like the same things. I guarantee you, if you like peanut butter when you were little, you're going in there when you're hungry at night for a craving and you're taking a spoon of peanut butter.
Big old
Those
scoop.
Yeah, the big old school. These things are not changing. You know, we have to, for adults, I say, you know what? If you're so involved in the world around you, take a step back and try to figure out who that inner child really is and think about who you were when you were younger and reconnect. And for children, it's so true. We have so many different types of creativity. You know, it's not all about drawing. It's not all about painting. It's not all about those things. There are so many different forms of creativity and we have to really utilize them. And it makes our brain grow, makes us grow as a person. It makes us see the beauty within. It gives us courage. It gives us strength. It makes us feel good about ourselves, and it raises our self-esteem and our awareness of who we are as individuals. These things that you talked about today are so important. I really think any parent that's listening to this should share all the tips and tools with their child and then maybe apply some of them to their own lives, because we all they all those tools and you just named today and all the advice you gave is truly rewarding and could help anybody at any age. And I thank you so much for coming on the show today. You are a doll and you are a world of wisdom. And I thank you so much. You are just an amazing individual and I appreciate you. And this has been a great conversation.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a great day.
Oh, you too. You too.